Good morning, or should I say afternoon, everyone. Today is Monday, September 22nd, 2014, and you're listening live with Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and Uplift, bringing more joy to your life. We have a wonderful host today with us, Jamie Pfeffer, and without further ado, I'm going to bring her on and allow her to share some wonderful inspirations and teachings with you guys.
Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. It's Jamie Pfeffer. Thank you, Courtney, for the wonderful introduction. And welcome to Uplift. I am a joyful living expert, an international coach and teacher, a writer, and now a radio host. And I love helping men and women increase their happiness with practical tools and inspiring and empowering them to create the lives of their dreams. So I am very, very grateful to have you with me today, and it is an absolutely gorgeous day in Michigan. I am just outside of Detroit, and we have just had spectacular weather. So grateful for that. I was driving this morning, and the leaves are starting to change. There are a couple trees on my way into the gym that are already just this beautiful flame red, and just such a beautiful time of year here. And I'm just really grateful for this radio show and everyone that's calling in and listening. And I am going to take live callers today for the first time, so I'm really looking forward to that. And just extremely grateful to be here. So thank you all for being here. I appreciate you. And I just want to set the intention that anyone that listens to the show, whether it's right now while it's live or you've archived it and you're listening later on, that you really get something that is going to help you in your daily life, something that's going to be easy and practical, and it's going to help you decrease your stress and just increase the happiness in your life and really create the life of your dreams, because I do believe that that is what all of us deserve. And I want to go on that note. I'll start out on that note. And I was saying how grateful I am, and gratitude has a really big part in my life. And it's like the more grateful I am, the more there is to be grateful for. I have to be honest, right before the show, my husband was up here and he was cleaning out his closet. And that's amazing. I mean, if you joined me for the last show, which was on clutter clearing, you know, clearing your space to clear your mind, I talked about that, and I may have talked about the fact that when I first started doing that, I wasn't even telling my family. They were just like, oh, you know, what are you up to? And I was like, I'm clutter clearing because it actually helps me to have a higher energy and really to make space for things in my life. So my husband had started doing it on his own. And then my daughter had too. So, you know, that was several months ago. And I just went through another big clutter clearing session. And in fact, I'm still doing it. I like to try to do just 27 items a day, which I talked about on the last show. But my husband was home and he was like, I don't want to bother you, but I'd like to clean out my closet. And I was like, that's so nice. It doesn't bother me at all. I mean, I can't even imagine. I'm sure there's wives out there that would just love that. And it's not a nagging thing. I didn't even mention it to him. Like, it's so cool to be married to someone who actually follows my teachings, and, just amazing. I'm so grateful. And then, you know, he was driving to a meeting that he had to go to, and he actually called me and left me a message. So I called him back, and he said, oh, I just left you a voicemail. I just wanted to wish you a great show and, you know, just such nice things. And it's like, I feel so fortunate and so grateful. And the things that I say, you know, in my teachings and on my show and in my books, you know, about living the life of your dreams, I really truly believe it. I did not live like this my entire life. And in fact, it wasn't until I went on this healing journey for myself that I really, this was about 3 or 4 years ago, that I really started to, my whole life changed. And I'm so grateful for everything. And I really do feel like I live in a dream. And I don't say that to boast or anything of that manner, I say it because I truly believe that it's available to anyone out there. And what I've done is, you know, I didn't realize it at the time, but as I was going through this transformation process myself, and actually, you know, it was really difficult at first. I lived with depression and anxiety and, you know, for many, many years, and it seemed like I had it all together. Still, I wasn't happy. I was on this emotional roller coaster all the time. I had what looked like happiness. I'll at least say that. I had, you know, the beautiful home, and I was married, and at the time I had one daughter. But I was really crumbling on the inside. I didn't know, you know, what my purpose was, and I wasn't doing any of the things that I'm doing now in terms of coaching or teaching or anything like that. And I just, there was just this constant feeling of there's got to be more. You know, I mean, it wasn't for a while, it was I was just surviving. And then I went through that, but I wasn't thriving. I was just, you know, kind of at this neutral, and, you know, if good things would happen, I would get a little boost, but then things would kind of go back to this default setting that definitely wasn't the life of my dreams. So, I mean, it was wonderful, and I see how everything has its place in my life. And I don't think I would have written my book or done any of the other things that I'm doing if those things hadn't have happened. But I say this because if there's anyone out there that's listening and you don't feel like you're living the life of your dreams, I want you to know that you're not alone, and I understand. And not only do I understand, I've been there. I, you know, like I said, the depression and anxiety, and I know this is only my fourth show, so a lot of people are still getting to know me a little bit. I find it important to talk about what the depression and anxiety are, because I feel like those are just labels. Some people may have experiences with these types of things but may not even know it. So, you know, just mainly just bouts of sadness and, you know, a lot of crying over an extended period of time. I definitely had social anxiety. I isolated a lot in terms of, you know, didn't have a ton of friends. And my anxiety was almost worse because I was always thinking about what other people were thinking of me. I had this, like, almost constant head chatter of judgment, of, you know, what other people were judging me about. I was judging myself all the time. And, you know, looking back on it now, it's no wonder that I wasn't thriving, because I don't know anyone or anything that can thrive. And in fact, I mean, I think survival is even difficult in that situation, of being in an environment of constant judgment or constant criticism. And, you know, one of the things that I'm going to talk about today is the inner critic and learning how to recognize this voice. And I have a really special guest on, one of my students and a very good friend of mine, Laura Robb. I'm going to bring her on a little bit later just to talk about her experience with that. And it's really an eye-opening activity. You know, for me, I still remember the date that I learned about this inner critic exercise. And yeah, it's really exciting and really empowering. So I'm excited to share that with you in a couple minutes as soon as I go through some quick announcements. So to start with, I just wanted to talk about my membership group. I am planning on putting a membership group together, and it's going to be for a small fee every month. And right now I do a lot of visual affirmations. I do one every day, and they're public, and then I do other things, but what I'm going to end up doing is I'm going to do this Uplift Tribe, and there's going to be a four-week webinar that's going to be free for all members, and it's about uncluttering and clearing your life. So that is, I think, a $300 value, so that will be included, and then these daily affirmations that will be sent to your email box, as well as a group coaching call every month with me, and a bunch of other goodies, discounts for my classes and retreats and different things like that. So I'm looking forward, we're putting the finishing touches on it, and I'm looking forward to rolling that out. And I will be giving a bunch of free scholarships for this membership group. So if any of you are interested in the free membership to the Uplift Tribe for 3 months, please email me. And my email is jp@jamie-p.com. And Jamie is spelled jamie-p.com. So that is for the free scholarship to the membership group. Really looking forward to that. And the other announcement is about my next book proposal class, which I am teaching with the wonderful Jennifer Grace, who is my coach and mentor and Hay House radio show host and Hay House author. And we are right now in week 7 of our first book proposal class together. It is absolutely phenomenal. And I want to give a shout out to any of our students that are listening today. Hey guys, I adore you, and it's just been such an amazing journey to be with these people as they put together a book proposal to submit to agents to have their books published. I mean, it's just absolutely fantastic. We hit everything from the proposal to Jennifer won a Hay House contest with her book proposal, so you have access to her proposal, and you know, she teaches every week, and I serve as an editor for the class, and we get you feedback on what you're doing. We go into platform, which these days is just as important as like the book itself, because a lot of people that want to become authors don't realize that most of the time you have to actually promote your own book. So it's really important. You know, it's not like you get with a publishing house and then they promote you and your work is done. You actually get with the publishing house, and a lot of authors say the work is just beginning for you. So we go through all of that in the class, social media. She brings on a lot of her experts. She brings on Estella Aria, who is her agent, and you get to ask questions, and it's just absolutely fantastic. So if anyone is interested in more details about our next book proposal session, please email me. Again, the email address is jp@jamie-p.com. And our next session starts the weekend of October 2nd and 3rd. It's that Saturday. Now, jumping into today's show. So I was talking about really feeling like that I have this life of my dreams. And it's just everything. It's from getting this radio show to teaching and just, you know, I have to say, I love everything that I do in my life, but this show is one of the top. I mean, it's so awesome for me. So thank you for listening and helping me make my dream come true. It's fantastic. And then I have like this wonderful husband who, it's amazing. He amazes me every day. And beautiful girls, and, you know, my book is rolling along, and I have these amazing opportunities with teaching, and, you know, it's like I'll stop and I'll just say to myself, wow, this almost doesn't feel real. I remember just even in the last year being like, is this real? And asking my husband, you know, here, pinch me, because I don't know if this is real or not. And, you know, that sounds so ridiculous saying it, but it's the truth. So I ask you, you know, have any of you ever felt that way? And I'm sure that many of you can say yes. So my question is, how would you like to feel that way much more often? You know, if it's just a sporadic thing that you've experienced maybe once or twice in your life, you know, how would it feel for you to feel like you're living in a dream most of the time? And of course, you know, living the life that I live today does not mean that I do not come up against any resistance or any change. You know, that's just all part of life. But it's just this beautiful unfolding. And I'm just in such a different space. It's amazing. So the whole purpose of a lot of my teachings right now and my book, Uplift, and my course, which is based on the book, is to share with you the practices that I use on a daily basis or sometimes a weekly basis to actually get myself these practices that I've used to actually create this dream life for myself. And I'm excited to share one of those today. And it kind of goes hand in hand with the decluttering show that I did the last time I was on, which was 2 weeks ago, except this time, instead of clearing physical clutter, we're actually going to go in and clear the mental clutter. We're going to clear your mind, because something that I've learned since I've been on my own journey is that my mind is not the end-all of my existence. My mind is simply one tool that I have at my disposal. And, you know, it sounds very simplistic and almost naive to me now when I say it, but I honestly, before this transformation, I really thought that I was my mind and my mind was me. So I didn't realize that I actually had the capacity to step back from a situation mentally and perceive it from kind of an outside angle. And also to understand that the thoughts that I have in my head aren't always true. And a lot of the time, they weren't true. Because like I said, I really lived in much of a critical, judgmental mind. I mean, that's what my mind was. It was, and, you know, I've always had this dedication and tenacity. And I remember trying to figure out, you know, how can I make this go away? How can I get out of this? Because I realized that the more I thought these negative thoughts, the worse I felt. And I didn't, at that time, I was not familiar with, you know, my thoughts create my reality. I was not familiar with those concepts. But I had kind of realized, like, all right, you know, when I spend the morning beating myself up for something or criticizing myself or thinking, how come you didn't do that better? Or how come you can't do things differently, Jamie? Or, how, you know, this negative dialogue, that I would be in tears by lunchtime or trying to hold back tears. And then, you know, by the time my husband came home at night, I was a mess. So, yeah, so I'm really excited to talk about this today. And the first thing that I wanted to talk about is this inner critic that I have been just alluding to a little bit. And I still remember the day that I was introduced to my inner critic, and it was November 13th. And it was through a class I was taking called The Creative Insight Journey. And it's an amazing class. I absolutely phenomenal. It is out of Stanford's master's degree program, and it is based on a book called Creativity in Business by Dr. Michael Ray. And I am now a certified Creative Insight Journey trainer. This class was just an 8-week-long class, and it was so significant and just impacted me so much that once I heard that there was an opportunity to actually teach the class, I jumped on it. So that is one of the classes that I teach currently. And what we do, what happened is, I was in the class, and it was week two. I still remember. I remember it very vividly. And we were actually introduced to this concept of the gremlin and told that we needed to, you know, told a little bit about the idea in that everybody has this inner critic or this gremlin. And what the teacher wanted us to do was actually draw a picture of this gremlin and then give it a name and write three things down that it says to us. And I was just like blown away. So I'm in this class with, I think, 12 other people, and I did it. And mine looked like a little monster. And it had one eye. It does have one eye, I should say. And I named it Emma. I don't know why, but that's the name that came to me. So I named it Emma. And I just remember, like, almost being in tears from this exercise. And it's something that I have my Sue. You know, if you're listening and you're resonating with this, I encourage you to do it. It's awesome. You just sit down, get a piece of paper, you draw this little gremlin, whatever comes into your head. And if it tells you that you can't draw, if you hear a voice in your head telling you you can't draw, then you know that that's your gremlin. And then you write down three things that it says to you. And it was, like, so eye-opening to me. And then we went around the class and we all shared. what it said to us and what its name was. And it was so interesting because most people had exactly the same things that their gremlin said to them. You're not capable, you're not good enough, and you're not worthy when it comes down to it. They may not have all been those same three phrases, but very, very similar. And it was amazing to hear other people and to just hear what kind of experiences they had with the gremlin. And then, you know, our teacher talked to us a little bit more about, you know, whose voices are these? You know, so think about yourself during the day. And what I want you to do if you're listening to the show, you know, have this as a takeaway today. And just use this as an awareness in your own life of, you know, what is my inner dialogue? What is going on in my head? How am I treating myself? And this isn't this exercise can get a little tricky because the purpose is not to identify with this gremlin and then beat yourself up for the gremlin for having these thoughts. You know, everybody has these thoughts. And it's just for you to have an awareness of, you know, these are the thoughts that I'm having, and just observe. Just observe. So, and then actually look at where did these thoughts originate from? Because there have been countless books written on this gremlin, or sometimes it's referred to as the inner voice. In the Creative Insight Journey, it's the voice of judgment. My coach, Jennifer Grace, in her book, Directing Your Destiny, refers to it as the itty bitty shitty committee. I know other people that refer to it as the committee or, you know, the board of directors. I've heard it referred to. So, you know, this isn't a new concept. But one of the things that we know is, you know, we seem to all have this dual-sided nature. And these voices often come from things that we experienced in childhood, from caregivers that we spent a lot of time around, you know, school and that type of thing. And what happens with children, and this is not an invitation for you to blame the caregivers in your life, you know, and say, look what you did to me. It actually, if you look deeper into child psychology, there's this whole thing with children having to believe their parents are like these perfect almighty beings. And what happens is children can't make the differentiation between something that a parent says. They just attach meaning to it because they think so highly of their parents. And they aren't able to say, you know what, my mom might say that, but I don't, you know, for example, maybe a mother might say, how come you always keep your voice so loud? Or something like that. How come you never put your stuff away? And the child might attach the meaning of, I'm a bad person. I never put my stuff away. And that's just the meaning that they happen to apply to it. And it's so interesting because what happens is, and it's nobody's fault, it just is, we grow up and then we have these things playing in our head. And I'm not saying that it's going to be your mother or your teacher or, you know, it may not be that person's voice. I know for me, sometimes I do visualize a person, but it isn't, you know, sometimes it's a person from the past, but more so than not, it's a voice saying, you did this, or you don't look good, or your hair looks, you know. And I want to share, I have these thoughts just like everybody else, you know, and the power of having the awareness of this inner critic or gremlin or whatever you want to call it is that you can actually step outside of it and detach and just say, okay, I'm hearing this voice. Now, is this true? And you can actually step into your power there and not let this voice run your life. And what will happen is eventually you'll get really good at it. And one of the other exercises that we did in the class was we actually were assigned to tape up the picture of our gremlin somewhere where we would see it so that we were constantly reminded all week. And just started noticing how often this gremlin was actually coming into our head. And for me, it was incredibly eye-opening. It was almost like the veil was being lifted off for me. And I remember being like, wow, this is the reason that I didn't, that I was always terrified of public speaking, because I had this voice in my head telling me, you can't do this. Nobody wants to listen to you. You don't have anything good to say, or you're not capable. But mainly it was, nobody wants to listen to you, and you don't have anything to say. And you're going to make a fool out of yourself, you know. And I think that maybe when I was younger, I had an instance of doing something at school where I didn't know an answer, and I felt embarrassed. And what I ended up doing is I ended up attaching that experience and that, you know, feeling of embarrassment. It kind of colored, and there were probably other experiences like that as well in early childhood. And then I developed this belief that I couldn't speak in public. Or I developed this belief that I wasn't capable of doing X, Y, or Z because I was told that. Or I developed a belief, I know a belief that a lot of people have, is that mistakes are wrong. And if I make a mistake, I'm a bad person, or I'm not a good person. I mean, that, I think, is a pretty prevalent belief, limiting belief. And, you know, it's just really interesting to do this exercise and then to really, you know, and just step back and see, okay, what is my voice saying to me? And there's a great book called Conquer Your Critical Inner Voice, and it's by Firestone and Catlett. It's fantastic. The entire book goes through different forms that the critical voice can come out at a person. Everything from, like, career, you know, you don't deserve that promotion. You shouldn't apply for that because you're never going to get it. How are you going to feel if people find out and you don't get it? You know, that type of stuff. To weight, eating, you know, how can you eat that? What are you doing? You should be doing this. Why aren't you doing this better? Why can't you control yourself with food? Or on and on and on and on and on. And then there are actually exercises in the book that help to get over these limiting beliefs. And there are a bunch of scales where you can actually do the scale. It's like a 5-4-point scale. And you can see, you know, which ones you need help on or which ones you really seem to have a strong critical voice about. And I know for me, this was really a stepping off point, because once I started to realize this critical inner voice, one of the tactics that I used was to observe it and to step back. But then I learned about Byron Katie's work. And one of the things she does is she says, is it true? Can I be sure that this is true? And then the next question is, can I be sure it's 100% true? So if I have a voice in my head, I know before I started this radio show, before my first show, I was really nervous. And I started thinking, wow, I should do this. Why did I do this? Why did I sign up for this? Because the voice in my head was saying, you can't do this, Jamie. What were you thinking? Nobody's going to listen to you. Nobody's going to download the episode. Nobody's going to know that you're even there. And, you know, I thought, wait a minute, this is Emma. And instead of being mad at Emma, I prefer to say, you know, hey, Emma, I hear you, because the truth is that this critical inner voice, or the fear, whatever you want to call it, it really is trying to help us. And a lot of people believe that it is, you know, part of this reptilian brain from long ago where, you know, the fight or flight response, we needed to have this. And, you know, I can be grateful. I'm grateful that I have fear or something signaling to me when it's an appropriate time to do so. You know, let's say I'm getting ready to turn the corner and a car comes whizzing by me and I, you know, I jump back. I don't turn because the car, you know, the fear says to me, wait a minute. You know, so I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for thoughts of caution that are at the appropriate time. But unfortunately for me, and I think for many people, what happens is this gets taken to an extreme. And instead of choosing to grow and really choosing to expand in our lives, we listen to this critical inner voice and we don't know that what it's really doing is it's keeping us inside of our comfort zone. And when all we do is stay inside of our comfort zone, we're not growing. And when we're not growing, we're dying. We're getting stagnant. And I truly believe that it is the purpose of human beings to grow and evolve on this planet. And if they're not doing that, then they're going the other way. So So, yeah, the critical inner voice, just such a wonderful activity and tool to use. And I would love to bring on my guest, who is Laura Robb. She's with us today. She was one of my students, and she's a longtime friend. And she is going to talk a little bit about her experience with the critical inner voice and, you know, how identifying it has really impacted her life. So, Laura, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi. How are you?
Great. It's been wonderful listening to your excellent, enlightening presentation on the radio today.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. So
you touched on.
Go ahead.
You touched on so many things that reminded me of the lessons I learned in the class with you, and also just the lessons and the evolution in my own life. And it's just was really great.
Great. So can you talk about a little bit about being in the class when you had that experience, and, you know, was it new to you? Had you had any experience with this type of thing before?
Well, you know, I think I had been familiar before the class with Byron Katie, where she recommends challenging your assumptions. You know, my husband should be doing more around the house. You know, and I was aware that as soon as I had a thought like that, you know, a critical, judgmental thought, that then I would feel lousy, and I'd feel lousy about my husband, and I'd start kind of misbehaving in the house and being, you know, crabby and little digs here and there. And I liked that she taught me to say, you know, is that true? Are you absolutely sure that's true? How do you know that's true? How does it make you feel when you think that's true? Which is her questions, and then she does a turnaround question that says,
right,
I need more around the house. But anyway, so I had done that, but when I took the course with you and you had us draw the gremlin, and mine was critique rule. Criticule, you know, kind of like that. And I made this diagram, and so it was kind of like gruelish and critical at the same time. And mm-hmm. I drew the picture, and I did have that thought, oh, I'm not good at drawing, and which I think I had a message. And just recently I started doing art to kind of speak back to that message, and I've enjoyed drawing a few things and painting a few things and sort of beating down that old message.
Wonderful.
But my gremlin picture, I put little bubbles, little speak bubbles, and my critic said, she's smarter than you. She's more organized than you. You're too fat. You don't have enough money. The messages were so like tearing me down. And I think that writing them down really helped me. And I put them on my mirror in my bedroom. And they helped me identify that this was a separate thing from me as a human being, me as a being. And as I separated those from me, I began to watch my thoughts more. And that really did begin a really powerful evolution toward watching my thoughts. Because then I started realizing other thoughts, that I'm not my thoughts. There, I'm here, I'm being, I'm a self, and those thoughts are kind of the monkey mind, somebody called it. And the monkey mind jumps all around, and it says all kinds of things, and it's not like those thoughts are fact. They're not absolute truth. They're not God speaking. And who are they, you know? And I realized that I had gotten messages from my family and from school. You know, in school, there's winners and there's losers. And there's graded people. There's the A's and the B's and the C's and the D's. And so just by the way we live in society, that there's this rating, and I think we can get, I got messages from that. I got messages from my family regarding tone of voice. You know, you can say to somebody, would you please get the garbage? Or you can say, would you get the garbage for us? And so I think sometimes that internalized a sort of critical tone nastiness to myself. So I was my own self, my own guts, my brain was in a way a traject of experiences and parents that wasn't a team. And I started to identify those. And an example, if I could, I was recently volunteering at a huge event downtown at one of our big venues, and some of the people that were going, I signed up first for the afternoon, and some of the people I knew, I looked on the enrollment sheet, and I saw everyone else I knew that was working had signed up in the morning. And my critique gruel said to me, thought it was truth speaking, they all signed up in the morning because they don't want to be with you. They don't like you. So it made it hard for me to go to the event because I was feeling all chewed up and beat up before I even got there. And
yeah.
I mean, it was really beaten up on me. And I thought, and then I picked out one person in the group. I thought, she really doesn't like you anymore. She used to like you, but she doesn't like you anymore. So I go down to the event. I walk in the door. That person is 25 feet from me. I look up at her. She lights up with a smile and basically runs towards me, gives me a big hug, and talks to me for 20 minutes about how the event has been going.
Wow.
And it was like, that was like, oh my, interesting. Thoughts are not always accurate perceptions of reality, are they?
Absolutely.
And,
wow.
Yeah. Mhm. So it's been that becoming more aware of them and just sort of touching them, like going, oh, I just had a thought that was trying to make me feel like I'm better than so-and-so. So my thought was sort of judging the other person and trying to elevate me up above them. And then another time I'll touch a thought and become aware of it, and I'll go, now I've made myself feel like I'm less than that person.
Right.
So I've just started watching, and I think through doing that I realize I am not my thoughts, I'm not my monkey mind, and I do think that having learned to meditate really helps me a lot because I think it's developed my inner sense of a self separate from really from the world around me, separate from the thoughts that I have. And it gives me a sense of inner calm, beauty, resilience in stressful situations where I actually can feel this inner calm amid the thoughts or amid the activities. And that has grown a lot. I learned to do transcendental meditation 28 years ago, and I've been practicing it morning and night since then. And it was really a great gift because it was easy for me and effortless, and it has grown over time, this greater and greater and greater sense of inner beingness. And that has helped with this whole
right.
process. There's me, and then there's thought, and me, I'm connected to the greatness of all time. And
yes. Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Laura. You really touched on so many things. And, you know, it's interesting. It sounds like your gremlin, and I remember this as you were talking, that in the Creative Insight Journey class, we actually talk about, you know, is the inner critic or gremlin louder, or is it your outer critic or gremlin? And, you know, just to think about that during the week, and it sounds like maybe your outer was a little bit louder as opposed to my inner. Mine just seemed to be an inner. Yeah, but, you know, it's true, and it's this judgment. It's a judgment of, you know, other people, and it just reminds me of that book that I mentioned, the Conquer Your Critical Inner Voice. It does. It goes between, you know, you are doing this, but not you as in you, Laura. You know, you as in the voice that's talking to me. And it actually says that some people have a voice that says I. And so that's interesting. And this book says you're in a little bit of a better spot with it if the voice says you. The I can, you know, if it's in an I perspective, it's pretty damaging. Well, it just, you can take a step. I shouldn't say it's pretty damaging. It just says, you know, try to, once you have the awareness, to really try to move it into a third person where it's saying, you know, it's outside of you so that it's not just you and that's the only thing that the person is identifying with as themselves. Because I know for me, I really did identify with that. I thought that those thoughts were 100% true. And, you know, just the perception that I had of other people, and it was so off so much of the time. And I can just see how it kept me small, you know, because I think that's what that voice is trying to do. It's trying to keep us small. It's trying to keep us in the box because, you know, it tells us things like big and scary out there. You know, you can't do this. You can't, you know, or XYZ event happened 30 years ago. That's going to happen if you try it again. You know what I mean? Like, we develop these associations with things. And it's funny. I was just thinking about all the books that I've read recently and some of the books that came into my head. And another book that came into my head with this critical inner voice, which I never thought about until today, it's one of my favorites, is called Excuses Be Gone. And it's by Wayne Dyer. And it's interesting because I was just thinking about this whole critical inner voice before, you know, just thinking about the show and what I was going to talk about. And, you know, big part of the book, Excuses Be Gone, is identifying these, quote, excuses. You know, I can't do it because I'm too old. And I think that that probably forms from this voice that's saying, you can't do it, you're too old. You know, whether it's, I know for me, I can identify so many different places in my life where this critical inner voice, I listened to it and I did not do what I wanted to do. Like, there was something inside of me, which I will say now is my true self, that was, you know, pushing me toward getting outside of my comfort zone and moving towards things where I would be inspiring others, leading others, because I've always been this leader. I mean, I was a cheerleader in high school. Like, all of this stuff is now really starting to come together, and I'm starting to understand, well, that's why I chose to do that, and that's why I chose to do that. Like, I think these things are all intertwined, and they're all part of my life purpose of what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be inspiring and empowering and encouraging other people. That is part of my mission here. And, but it was funny, for a long time, you know, that purpose would come up, but I would squish it down because I had this critical inner voice that was like, you can't handle this, you can't do this, you know, and it was usually coming up in the form of, like I said before, you know, these roles require public speaking, and I was petrified of public speaking. And, you know, it's so funny because I finally got to a place recently, you know, within the last couple of years where it was like, and you know what, I'll even say, even before that, for some unknown reason, and now I think I know why, because it was part of my life's purpose, and I could not go against it because it was almost like abandoning myself. I went out for student government. You know, I mean, I was absolutely petrified of people and petrified of groups, but yet I went out for student government and, you know, was the president of my class of like 400 and some people, and I had to give speeches. I mean, it was like, you know, I remember telling an old boss this and him being like, are you like a masochist or what? Like, I thought you hated this. You know, the truth was that there was something deep inside of me that was like, you're meant to do this. And that's just really the way that things have gone for me over the last year. And, you know, with the teaching and the fact that I have this radio show, if somebody would have told me this 5 years ago, I would have told them they were crazy. You know, I'm speaking now in front of 50-plus people, and it's so liberating. And I think that it was integral for me to understand this critical inner voice and to know that I don't have to let it create my reality like I had been doing for so long.
That's so,
you know,
beautiful.
I mean?
It's such a progression of what began with a little germ of an idea that maybe your thoughts weren't to be completely believed and trusted, and grew into a new life through that initial little germ of a challenge. And it's a beautiful thing. And I think if we all can take a look at the thoughts that we're having. I know I've had circumstances recently where I will not, maybe in a meeting, want to share an idea or an opinion, a business meeting, because I'll think, no one wants to hear that, Laura. No one wants to hear that. And then I'll push against it and say, quiet, shh, sit. You know, I'm training the dog, you know, sit. Stay, you know, quiet, identify it and tell it to be quiet. And then I'll share an idea and it'll end up being the thing we do next in our projects. And it, you know, people say later, what a great idea. So my inner self did not give me an accurate indicator about whether or not my idea was worth sharing. It really was off, just like it was off when I went to that big event. And, you know, I'm almost starting to think, with every thought that I have, why would I ever choose to allow my brain to think things that hurt me, shame me, tear me down, create fear, and debilitate my ability to function? Why would I wouldn't let anyone else treat my friend Jamie that way. But I've been letting my inner self treat me that way. If somebody could talk to somebody else the way my brain talks to me, I would stand up and defend my friend. And I'm thinking now that I'm starting to identify these and starting to sort of defend myself against negative thoughts that have been swimming around in there, and really move towards quiet, ness inside, beingness inside, and positive things. And the other thing that you really reinforced in my life was doing mirror work.
Right.
Now, mirror work, where I have it hanging from dental floss in my bathroom, mirror where I put up makeup, and I am saying things every day now. You know, I am a child of the universe. I have a right to be here. My life is filled with wonderful things. I am grateful for all that is here. The universe is working for me. And all kinds of other things. You told me once how many you do a day, Jamie. How many? 80?
It's a lot. Yeah.
Wonderful. You know, I think that I want to build those up, because I think one of the things I've noticed is when I'm out and working and in life and just at home, now there are these positive affirmations that pop into my brain. They're supplanting the negativity.
That's wonderful.
Yes, it's like I'm layering them in, like you make a layered dish, and they're pushing down and eliminating the old ways. So I think that's really happening for me, and
that's great.
I'm grateful for that.
Great. That is one of the things that I was going to talk about in terms of, you know, I don't know if antidote is the right word, but, you know, so with this critical voice, you know, what can we do about it once we have the awareness? And it's like, at first, you've got to just give yourself a little bit of time to accept it. I think acceptance is a big thing. I know for me, I mean, whenever I have a new awareness, I have this little period of, like, almost shame that comes in where it's like, wow, how could I have not known this? And that could be a critical voice, too. So there's a little bit of acceptance there, or however long a person needs. I think, you know, journaling is one of my daily tools that I talk about constantly. I have recently been shooting videos, and I think all of the videos that I've shot so far, I've talked about journaling and meditation, because those are just easy. And I say easy, I mean, I really think that meditation is easy. I think, you know, not everybody has that, not everybody agrees with that. And there's different forms of meditation. But, you know, in terms of listening to a guided meditation for stress relief, or, you know, just as a gift to yourself, or empowering oneself, self-love, self-care, it's one of the easiest things. You just sit down and you put on your headphones and you listen to something for 10 to 30 minutes or whatever it is. So for me, that's easy. I mean, I listen to one as I drift off to sleep. I listen to one in the morning that, you know, really helps me to outline my day and what types of things do I want to create today. And then I listen to one in the afternoon that it's fantastic, and it just, like, recharges me. Instead of needing that 2 o'clock cup of coffee, I can do this meditation, and I'm just recharged. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. So, you know, and meditation, you also touched on this, is a great thing that you can do for the critical voice because, you know, like Laura and I both said, your thoughts create your reality, but not all of your thoughts are true. And, you know, meditation is really going into the gap. So you will get to a place where you can literally just watch your thoughts go by in your head. You know, I've heard Wayne Dyer talk about it like as this endless conveyor belt of thoughts. And you can actually, you can make a choice. Do I want to pick up this thought or do I want to put it back? And if you do put it, if you do pick up one that you don't want, you will actually get to this place where you can just say, you know what, I don't want that thought, so I'm just going to put that back, meaning I'm just not going to pay it any attention. And I think that that's another great tool to use with the critical voice, you know, just, you know, using humor of, oh, there you are, Emma, or whatever its name is, you know, I hear you. I know for me, most recently I started doing these videos, and I love it. I absolutely love it. It's like a radio show. I absolutely love it. It gets me charged up. It's something I'm passionate about. And it's something that I think I'm meant to be doing. I'm meant to be spreading these messages. But if I listened to that critical voice, I would never have a video out. Never. You know, that voice told me I wasn't pretty enough. My hair looked orange. I don't have the right camera. Nobody's going to resonate with what I'm saying. And it's just like, you know, I can let that run my life. I can choose to listen to those thoughts and really let that run my life and stay in this small space and never get out and never grow. Or I can take the plunge and try it. And it's like everybody starts somewhere. You know, all the greats started somewhere. Oprah started somewhere. She didn't become an overnight success. You know, Jennifer Grace started somewhere. She did become an overnight success. Every teacher, every famous author, athlete, whoever it is, they've all started somewhere. And, you know, I'm sure I'll look back in a couple years and be like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I did that. But it's a beautiful thing, and it's fun. It's fun to just say, you know what, this is just in my head. Or, you know, if other people think this, that's okay, you know, but it's amazing to me how I know I'm helping people, and I hear from people all over the world almost every day. It's just, it's incredible. It's like, you know, something that I say to my clients too and students that are struggling with really getting outside of their comfort zone is out of fear is, you know, just think about the number of lives that you're going to impact by just sharing your message if only one person resonates with it. Like, I think I talked about this on the last show. Who knows what they're going to do, you know? Who knows if it's somebody that's in such a depressed state that they were teetering on the verge, you know? Nobody knows. And then they're going to go and do something within their family and uplift their family, and you know, maybe that's just what the child needed for them to something, and then they, you know, pass it on to their teacher, and the teacher passes it on to the community. I mean, we're all part of it. We're all part of each other and everyone's growth, and we're all impacting each other all the time. And our thoughts are impacting us. But the really cool thing is that we have the power to say, I'm not going to let this thought impact me, or I'm not going to let this critical voice impact me this time. You know, I'm going to make different choices. And I think that starts with doing things like we're talking about, you know, identifying the critical voice, journaling about it, like, what's it saying to you? And then, you know, okay, well, this is what this is saying. You know, in my case, for example, it was telling me that I couldn't do video, or nobody's going to watch it, or I don't have any credentials, or whatever, you know. And the truth is, you know, let me look back in my life and other times when I was scared and I was trying something new and I might have heard a similar voice, like the radio show, you know, and let me look and see what really happened. Well, what really happened is I received, you know, messages from people all the time telling me how much I'm inspiring them and how much I'm helping them. And just think, if I wouldn't have gone through with the radio show, I wouldn't have helped those people, you know. So it's like, if you have a critical thought or you recognize this critical voice, go back and try to find a point in your life where it isn't true. And then you can say, see, you know, I mean, even every time before I come on the radio show or before I teach, I get the voice. I've heard, there's a quote from, I think, Henry Fonda, you know, and it's all these great actors, and they all talk about being really scared before they perform all through their lives. And, you know, it's not probably ever going to go away, but you're really empowering yourself if you can identify it and, you know, take new actions. Because when we choose to listen to it, we're giving our power away to that thing. And that doesn't allow us to be the creator of our life, and it doesn't allow us to create our reality or the reality that we want. It doesn't allow us to create our dream reality. It allows us to create our reality, but it creates a negative reality that we don't want. So I think that that's a key takeaway. And also, you know, meditation. It's so vital in terms of just, you know, the numerous physical benefits, but also it's like the brain gym for your mind. It's the gym for your mind. You know, you start to realize that your mind is just a tool, and that's empowering. That is incredibly empowering. So I had, you know, great topic. I could talk about this forever. I mean, I could talk about it for a lot longer. And I had some other things I was going to touch on that we just did not get to today. So I will save those for another time. One of them in particular is worry. And that, you know, sometimes the critical voice in our head is not this beating up, you know, raging being or thing. Sometimes it's something small, but it's continuous, like worry. And worry is something that I struggled with for many years. And it's, you know, it seems harmless, and I think it gets glorified sometimes by society, and especially for, like, moms, like, you have to worry. And it's actually a real energy sucker. So I would love to talk about worry. There's so many good books on it, and I have a ton of tools that people can use with worry that are practical and easy. And, you know, lastly, we're coming up on the last 45 seconds of the show. I just wanted to talk about mindfulness and, you know, the part that can play. If you hear this critical voice and it's just like this continuous loop, you know, what do? Like, you don't want to get away from it, because you don't want to, like, run from it, because that doesn't help it go away. But you can practice mindfulness, which is just being present and being in the moment and reflecting on, you know, okay, I'm sitting on the chair right now. Now I'm going to go and walk over and wash the dishes. And also just getting up and doing something completely different, like exercise, can really help there. So that is it for today. I want to thank everyone for being here, and I hope you have a fantastic week.